Well, our theme for this Christmas Eve service is the promise of hope. The promise of hope. Hope's really important. Hope is essential. It's been said that we can live a few weeks without food. We can live a few days without water. But we can only live a few minutes without hope. Now that's a strong statement. How do we make that statement? Well, if you go to the definition of hope, it's this: the confident expectation that things are going to get better. If you look up the meaning of the word discouragement, it's the lessening of hope. Hope lessens, you become discouraged. And if you look up the meaning of the word despair, it says the loss of all hope. And when you lose all hope, when you come to despair, unfortunately many people in those moments, they can't live in that state and they take their own life or they, you know, there's different kinds of suicide. There's physical suicide, there's emotional suicide, there's relational suicide, but there's a death that comes when we do not have hope. What takes away our hope? Thinking about this, we lose hope in the dark. Because in the dark, we can't see. We can't plan. We don't know what to expect. We run into things. We hurt ourselves. We don't know how to save ourselves from those hurts because it's dark. We just can't see. And when you do not have hope, you can't see. You can't see the reason for living. You can't see the reason for your life. Things just get dark. One of the ancient writers put it this way, a Christian, I think it was John of the Cross. He talked about the dark night of the soul. We all experience that. We experience dark times. It's normal. Part of our expectation is that it's not normal, but it's normal. Just like every day has night and it has day, night and it has day. It's part of living. What do you do in the dark? When you feel like you're being crushed in, where there's no hope, I can't see things getting better, things will never change. It's a terrible place to be. That's when you need hope, because you lose hope in the darkness. Even this time of year, the winter solstice, leading up to December 22nd, the days were getting shorter and the nights were getting longer. But once you cross that solstice period, it just switches. Now the nights become shorter and the days become lighter, lighter. And there's a birth of hope. When you cross, you say, well, you know, the weather's still going to be bad, but there's hope. Every day is getting a little brighter. The promise of hope. The promise of hope is that in darkness, things will get better. The circumstances of our life many times dictate how we feel and how dark our lives become. It seems that God is silent in the darkness. You're reaching out for him. You're trying to understand, but it's like heaven is brass. I'm not getting a response. Do you ever feel that way? That's when I think the writer said, the dark night of the soul. Your soul is reaching out, is longing, but it doesn't seem to be getting any better, and I don't know whether things will change. You know, I feel I have much more of a kinship to people that are going through dark times. My life has been pretty bright. A good family, you know, my parents, my kids. There's always ups and downs, but always had pretty good health. But this last year has sort of been a dark night of the soul, facing an affliction with my lungs that doesn't have, from a medical point of view, a promise that you're going to get better. It's a promise, well, we'll try to treat this. And I become much more sensitive as I talk to people. And they begin to share what they're going through. It's like the darkness in your own heart and soul and the things you've experienced sensitizes you to what other people are going through. And I've wept as people have told me their story, what they're going through. And I realize that the statement is true. Be kind to people. Because people are going through things that you have no idea. You don't know what they're dealing with, what they're struggling with. The darkness of addiction is a terrible thing. It's destructive. Very few addictive people that I've met that do not long to be free from it. But they're in this darkness, they're in this closed room, and there seems to be no door out. See, God seems to be silent. You know that Christmas broke a silence. It's called the 400 silent years. That was from the end of the Old Testament, Malachi, to the beginning of the New Testament and the birth of Jesus. But 400 years, there was no prophetic word. Scripture wasn't written during that time. There was a promise that there's going to be one that comes, but it just seemed to go on and on and on and no relief to it. But then, as we sang tonight, on that silent night, it was broken with the cry of a baby. And that baby was the promise of hope. Hope of better days, the hope of forgiveness of our sins, the hope of a relationship with God, the hope that God can be real to us and close to us and draw us to himself. What a tremendous hope. Because it means all the difference in the world when you have hope. The Lord says in Hosea 2 and verse 15, the Lord says, in the valley of Achor, I have made a door of hope. If you look up the meaning of Achor, it means trouble. In the valley of trouble, I have put a door. It might seem like there's no way out, but there's a door. And there's a door of hope. There's a provision made that you don't have to stay in the same situation that you're in. You never have to just give in to the thought, you know, it'll never get any better. But we go through those valleys, the valley of trouble. It can be a financial trouble where we feel the pressures every day of bills coming in, and you're trying to do better, but you can't pay the bills. And every month the new bills come in, and you're doing your best. Financial troubles, and you feel like there's no door out. There could be health troubles. As I've already mentioned, that there doesn't seem any human door out of this thing. There's relationship troubles. Goes on and on. I think you could probably say the trouble is a loss of expectation. I thought something was going to happen. I thought that this was going to come about. I had planned for it. I thought, but now this unexpected thing has come up. And sometimes it can be of our own making, but it doesn't make it any less, because we're still there in the trouble and we've lost expectation and now it can never get any better. But I'm here to tell you tonight, whatever trouble you are in, whatever is the dark season, the dark night of your soul, there is a door out. There is a breaking of the silence. There is a breakthrough that comes from the Lord for us all to experience. Even when we go through the darkness of the shadow of death, death seems to be the final thing, and many people fear death. They're troubled by it. They don't know what they're going to do. They don't know if they were to stand before God, what their situation would be. And even worse, when you don't believe in a God. And so it's just sort of a darkness that's going to come, a blackness that's going to come over us. But there is a hope even in death. You know, Stephen was a bright star in the early church. Young man, talented, articulate, bold. And when he stood up to declare the gospel in Christ, and the Pharisees of that day were very condemned by what he was saying, and they finally took up stones and they threw it at him, and he was killed. But even in that moment of death, it says Stephen looked up and he saw heaven open, and he saw Christ sitting at the right hand of the Father. And he gave his life moving into a hope after death. But the early church, what would they thought? Oh, look what's happened. Why did that happen? If only that hadn't have happened. And they could have despaired, except for the point we look back on it now and realize out of the darkness of Stephen's death came the hope and actually the birth of the Apostles Paul's conversion. And he was there and he watched Stephen die, and it troubled him. He talks about later how it troubled him and bothered him. And he always considered himself the worst of all sinners because he was there to the death of Stephen. We can't interpret the circumstances we're going through. We use this term all the time. If only that had not happened. If only that person hadn't done that. If only I hadn't done this. If only I hadn't said that. And we feel like we put ourselves into this dark spot and we're in trouble and we've lost expectation. But I want you to know, in the midst of it, there is a door out of it. It's the door of hope. There's a confident expectation that things are going to get better regardless of where I'm in, what I'm in right now. But you can say, but my situation is really hopeless. I mean, it's okay to talk about some things, but you don't know how far gone I am. You don't know how deep I am bound. I got a hopeless situation. But I want you to know that you need a hopeless situation to have real hope. Because the scripture tells us, hope that is seen is not hope. If you can see a possibility how you can get out of this, if I did this and if I plan this and my ingenuity and my resource and if I get help, I can get out of this. If you can see a way out, then it's not true hope. You're hoping in yourself. And of course, that comes the nod. So it says, hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we're hoping in something we don't see. I don't see it. I'm in the dark right now, but I hope. It says, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. We're there and we're laying hold of a promise that the Lord has given us. And that promise, now this is really important. The promise is not in what you think has to happen for you to get out of it. This scripture says in Psalm 42 and verse 5, why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God. Hope in God. There's only one thing we can hope in. You need to hope in God. If you hope in the healing, you may be disappointed. But if you hope in the healer, you'll never be disappointed. If you hope in your prayers, I'm doing what I'm supposed to do and I'm praying and I know God's going to send the answer, then you're hoping in the wrong thing. You need to not hope in your prayers. You need to hope in the one that hears your prayer. It's not hoping in the deliverance. It's hoping in the deliverer. It's a big difference between hoping in a promise, because God's ways are not our ways, and the way we expect a promise to come about usually doesn't happen. But we are hoping in God. You have to redirect your hope that say, I am in this situation here, but I know there's a door out, and Jesus is the way. He's the truth and the life. And so I hope in God. I can't explain to you why I'm going through this. I can't explain to you how I'm going to get out of this. But I have a confident expectation that things are going to get better. In the end, it's going to get better. And as someone said, if it's not better, then it's not the end. But we draw a line. This is the end. This is as far as I can go. I can't stand anymore. But our hope is not in the, you know, it says we hope in God and we wait with perseverance. We wait with patience. We just keep trusting. We just have our stance before the Lord. We keep putting our faith in Him and our confidence in Him. And something happens as we do that. God comes in. And sometimes we see it, and sometimes we don't see it. But it will come about. I've shared many times, I wasn't planning to say this, but many of you hoping for family to come to the Lord. And my grandfather lived in the other side of the house as I was growing up as a boy. And his two daughters had strayed away, and they weren't serving the Lord at that point. And I, you know, different times when there was family devotions, or if I'd be in there praying with my grandpa and grandma, he would call their names before the Lord, that God would draw them back to themselves, that they would surrender their life, that they experience a relationship with God, that they fulfill the plan and purpose that God had for their life. He passed away and he never saw it. That you've heard me say before, but I saw it. I saw them come back to the Lord. And they came back 100% dedicated. And both my aunts were great influences in my life. we don't always see it. We may not understand it. But when you hope in God, it doesn't really matter whether I see it or not, because my hope's in God, not in that I have to see the answer to this. I have to see the fulfillment of this. I need to see how I get out of this situation. You just persevere. You just lay hold of the hope with perseverance. And something happens in that moment. The darkness dispels. Oh, the situation might be the same, but the darkness of your soul, no longer it is the dark soul of the night. But now your heart is bright, and there's a confidence and an expectation in God. There's a worship that comes forward from your life because of your hope in God. You can't live without hope in God. You can't have true hope without hoping in God, because you will fail yourself. Other people will fail you. Situations will not be perfect. There's going to be times when it just doesn't work out. And so there really can be no true hope without God, because he's the only one. Now listen to it, Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose. All things are working together for good. Not all things are good. Not all things that happen to me have been done with good intentions toward me. Some it's with malice. So Joseph could say to his brothers, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. And he could freely forgive his brothers because he saw that God was working in it. And they meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. So where is God in your darkness? He's at work. Something's happening that you can't see. It's too dark for you to see. But you just have a confident expectation. God is at work. Things are going to get better. It's going to turn out all right in the end. And so I just keep laying hold of that faith. Live every day, trusting, drawing on his presence. And the amazing thing I've discovered, it doesn't need to take away your joy. You can, some of the people that are going through the darkest times, they have a joy of the Lord in their heart. They have a praise on their lips. And it's not a made-up praise. And they don't say, oh, I'm not going through any problems. No, they recognize the problems. They acknowledge the problems. But they just realize God is bigger than these problems. And so that's what Christmas is. It was the birth of the promise. There was going to be a Savior 2,000 years ago. It was mentioned, and 2,000 years went by, and there wasn't that birth. And then the last 400 years seemed to be dead silence. But on that silent night, there was the birth of a promise. It was born, and that began to work out. Really insignificant to the world. Only a few shepherds heard about it. And they came, and God, of course, alerted some wise men in the east. And they came and they fulfilled their part. But for the most part, didn't ruffle the world and didn't seem like anything was happening. And even in the ministry of Jesus, it got attention. But they were able to snuff that out, and they put him on the cross, and he died, and there was a lot of weeping at the foot of the cross. But I got to believe that even in their weeping, there was a sense of hope, hope in God. He had told them what was going to happen. I don't think they fully understood it intellectually. The Bible says they didn't understand it. But they trusted in God, and God made himself real to them. So it's like Christmas was the birth of the promise, and Easter was the fulfillment of the promise. And the darkest night in Jesus' life was that bad Friday. The pain, the suffering, the darkness, even when he died, the lights, it's almost like God just turned the lights out and darkness covered the earth. It was a dark time. But as we sing and as we hear her here many times, you know, it's a dark Friday, but Sunday's coming. There's going to be the fulfillment of a resurrection, and evil's going to be defeated. And there's going to be fulfillment of the promise that we now enjoy, that we can come into the presence of the Lord. Amen. Would you stand with me this evening? I'm going to ask those that are serving communion to come forward. What does all this mean to you tonight? I don't know. I can't look into your soul. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know the ups and downs of your life. I don't know your attempts at faith, at being a better person. I have no idea about those things. It's all dark to me. But I want you to know there's a light in your life. There's a door of hope that if you just reach out, that door will open, and you can come into the presence of light. You can come into a new realm, and you can forget the past, and you just press into the future. Don't let your past determine your future. It was never meant to determine your future. There's a lot of darkness in your past. But if you lay hold of hope, you can live the rest of your life with a confident expectation that God is working in me. And he's going to bring about his purposes. So we're in just a few minutes going to hold in our hand your part of the promise. His broken body and his shed blood. And you're going to hold it in your hand in a very tangible way. But if in that moment of just partaking with us in communion tonight, it can be like that door begins to open and light begins to shine in, and there's a new day and a new dawn going to happen. It might be a process. It might be 33 years between the birth of the promise and the fulfillment of Christ's death on the cross, but it was all being worked out. And so you can just be confident tonight if you give your life to the Lord. If you turn to him, you surrender fresh and anew. I'm going to ask the folks tonight to prepare to serve you. We're going to do communion a little different tonight. And in a few minutes, I'm going to ask you to be seated. And we're going to serve you as you sit in your seats. And we'll pass the bread and the wine down, and you can just take it and hold it in your hand. And after everyone has been served, then we'll partake together. So, Father, we thank you for the great promise you've given us. We thank you, Lord, that we can experience the reality of this promise. It's not just words. It's not just a theory. It's not just an idea or philosophy. It's a reality that you came to this earth and you made a way for us to enter into your presence and find the fulfillment, a life of fulfillment that you have for us. Prepare our hearts as we receive these emblems tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to ask you to be seated. as you lay hold of hope tonight and for your future, for your family, for whatever situation you find yourself, let's remember the body of Christ that was broken for us. And let's remember the blood of Jesus that was shed for the remission of our sins. Amen. Lord, I pray that your word would have its effect in all of us tonight. As we have reminded ourselves of your word and your promises and of the hope that only comes from you, I ask, Lord, that each person here tonight would in their own way reach out and lay hold of that hope. And as they walk through that door, they find the reality of your presence in their life. Give us all that assurance of our salvation, assurance that you are at work in our life, and that good things are in store for us. We pray and ask it in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. That was a silent night, as we said, and we sang earlier, but it was also a holy night. A holy night. Just sit back and enjoy as Andrea comes.
Praise his holy name. I hope tonight you can leave with that promise of hope in your heart as you go celebrate with your family, have dinner around the table. I just want you to remember one thing. Hope is here. You may not feel it, you may not see it, but hope is here. Put your trust in the Lord, in your Savior, and He will make a way for you. He will make a way for you. So Jesus, tonight, commit this night to you. Thank you for the message of hope that we get to carry on in our lives. May that hope continue and be alive until the last day on this earth for us. May we breathe hope. May we live hope. May we proclaim hope every single day of our lives. We thank you for your hope. In Jesus' name, amen. Merry Christmas. Have a wonderful night.